God is involved in the affairs of men, leading them from the way of sin to a life of holiness. He is involved through His dear Holy Spirit, whose continuing ministry in the world is to make people aware of the sinfulness of sin and bring them to commitment by faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus completed His personal ministry on earth and ascended back to the presence of the Father. At Jesus' request, and in line with God's intended plan, the Spirit came to convict sinners of sin and to mature saints in the likeness of Christ. The Spirit of God is the agent by which men and women are brought to an awareness of personal responsibility for sin and their need for forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus announced that the Spirit would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So let us investigate what Jesus meant when He said the Spirit of God would convince men of righteousness. First, a word of definition. Righteousness is based upon the root word right. It refers to that which is according to right, that which is just. Righteousness, therefore, is the character or quality of being right or just. It was formerly called right wiseness in the older form of the English language. But righteousness is that which conforms to the will of God. The term is used many times in the New Testament to mean that gracious gift of God to men, whereby all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. This righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law or by any merit of man's own or any other condition than that of faith in Christ. The man who trusts in Christ becomes the righteousness of God in him, that is, becomes in Christ all that God requires a man to be, all that he could never be in himself. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict the world of what right relationship with God means, how it is attained, and how it may be maintained. Now, there are two systems of righteousness abroad in the world today. They are identified and distinguished by their respective sources. One is the system of right, which is based upon man's concepts of right and wrong, and his ability to do what he considers right and refrain from what he considers wrong. That is called self-righteousness in the Bible. It is the righteousness which one can produce in himself. Now, the other is the system of right, which is based upon God's standard of right and wrong. It is called divine righteousness because deity is the source of it. God convinces the world through the ministry of the Holy Spirit which of these two systems of righteousness is true and which is false. First, self-righteousness appears right to men, but it is not acceptable before God. Self-righteousness leads a person away from God rather than to God. Of course, every man should live honorably. He should provide for his family, be a law-abiding citizen, pay his honest debts, deal honorably in his business, and otherwise do to others as he would have them do to him. Now, those things are basic to a healthy and peaceful society, but they are not the basis on which a man is accepted before God. The man who is content with his self-righteousness will sense no need of God. He will not draw near to God. He will reject the two imperatives of repentance and faith, without which no person can approach God in peace. Romans 10, verses 1 and through 3, paints the tragedy of self-righteousness in religion. The Apostle Paul described Israel in this way. She has a zeal for God, but her zeal was not based on knowledge of truth. She knew little or nothing of God's righteousness. She went about trying to establish her own righteousness. She did not submit herself to the righteousness of God. Therefore, she was not saved. Now, that is the same tragedy which besets each person who depends on self-righteousness as the basis of acceptance with God. The person who turns from the imputed righteousness of God to pursue a course of self-righteousness is like the traveler in the desert who turns from a bubbling spring of water to chase a mirage across the burning sands. No person will be accepted of God on the basis of his self-righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 has this astounding statement, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Suppose a mechanic gathered up all the cloths in his shop, which he had used to wipe oil and grease from his hands, and took them to the bank to deposit as cash. Would they be accepted? Well, no more will God accept the self-righteousness of a man who has rejected the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. God testifies through Paul, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Consider, secondly, only the Jesus type of righteousness is acceptable before God. Now, God has offered to give his righteousness to every person who will come to him in repentance of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God provides his own divine righteousness as a free gift to everyone who exercises personal faith. The privilege of the Christian is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that is, which is by my works in trying to keep the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, every person who is saved has received the righteousness of God. It is imputed to him as a consequence of his faith in Christ. The prodigal, clad in the rags of a beggar, came home to his father and received the best robe in the house for his garment. The repenting sinner, clad in the filthy rags of his self-righteousness, comes home to the heavenly Father by faith in Jesus Christ and receives the best robe in heaven, the imputed righteousness of God himself. Now, are you dressed in the beggar's rags or in the Father's robe? Consider, third, that Jesus' ascension back to heaven shows his kind of righteousness is acceptable to God. Jesus concluded his earthly ministry by ascending back to the Father in heaven. The disciples watched as he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was welcomed to heaven and took a place at the Father's right hand, a place of special honor and authority. He will remain there until the time of his second coming to earth. The fact that Jesus was welcomed back to heaven with such acclaim and worship indicates that the Jesus kind of righteousness is the kind that is acceptable to God. It teaches that you must have the Jesus righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God, in order to be accepted in the eternal bliss of heaven. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would reprove, that is, convict, convince the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Now, are you convinced that your self-righteousness will never please God? Are you convinced that you must come to him by repentance and faith before you can ever be truly righteous? Are you hearing and responding to the convicting work of God by his Holy Spirit? Well, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Father, thank you for showing us that we can never be, by our own strength, all that we need to be. Thank you for sharing your own infinite righteousness with each one who comes to you through Jesus Christ. And use this study to bring many to repentance and faith in him. For Jesus' sake, amen.